You're listening to IPL 2021 Hotspot Special Edition, powered by Earshot.in. Well, the inevitable has happened. The IPL 2021 has been postponed indefinitely because of a rise in a number of positive cases across four IPL teams: Kolkata Knight Riders, Chennai Super Kings, Sunrisers Hyderabad, and Delhi Capitals. Hello and welcome to this latest episode of Hotspot Special Edition IPL 2021, powered by Earshot.in. As always, I'm your host, Chetan Narula, and with me, Daniel Norcross from London, BBC commentator. Daniel, let me set the context for you, and I'm pretty sure you know, and all our listeners know as well. Two positive cases for KKR, and the game was cancelled on Monday night, KKR versus RCB. We also had news of three support staff of CSK, five ground staff at the Delhi Stadium. And then Tuesday, Sunrisers Hyderabad's Vridhiman Saha and Delhi Capitals' Amit Mishra positive reports for them as well, which meant that Sunrisers Hyderabad versus Mumbai Indians could not go ahead. The next few games were already supposed to be cancelled because all the teams were in isolation. But then around 1 p.m. on Tuesday, that is May 4, the BCCI decided to suspend IPL 2021 indefinitely. Daniel, your first thoughts on this news, major news rocking the cricket world?
Look, it's kind of inevitable, I think. I think we got that feeling. We asked ourselves, and when we chatted a few days ago, what could make the IPL end? And you said, if there's an outbreak amongst the players, and that has happened. Now, there'll be a lot of talk about are these positives confirmed? They've done the right thing. They've suspended it. They've postponed it. There's a whole lot of uncertainties now in the entire cricket calendar, not least, will they get back to doing the IPL at any point shortly? I mean, the overseas players are going to be leaving India. This we already know. BCCI said they're going to help them get back to their homes. I can't see Australian players, English players, New Zealand players having left India, going back to India within the next month, in part because of the COVID situation, which is, I understand, grim and very upsetting, but also simply because the cricket world starts to move on. England have two test matches against New Zealand organised. There's the World Test Championship final between New Zealand and India. There's been talk of an Asia Cup. There's the entire English summer. I would say that, you know, what we've got to try to get our heads around here is, do we have any idea what the calendar for cricket now looks like between now and the end of the year? Because the knock-on effects of this are absolutely enormous. I can't see realistically how the IPL can take place in India within the next few months. It might not be able to take place in India at all this year. So will they look to play those remaining matches? What have we got? 31 or so games have still got to be played. Will they look to play them in the UAE? Where would the World T20 be played? It's scheduled to happen in India in October. Will that have to happen somewhere else? Australia probably not keen to have lots of people come into their country. We've seen that. So would that have to be in the UAE? If this has thrown up so many questions, but at the heart of it, we mustn't lose sight of the fact this isn't just about cricket. This is about a country at the moment in turmoil, India. And while we can concern ourselves, oh no, there's no cricket on, I mean, there are much bigger issues at stake here. And that is that we need India to get back on its feet. We need India to have the space to sort out their COVID situation. It will not be difficult. It will not be easy. And it will take some time. And we've got to be realistic about the fact that it's going to take so long, how that affects the rest of the calendar. And you know, is it really important that they play the remaining IPL matches? It doesn't feel important at the moment, Chetan.
Let's take it part by part, what you said there, Daniel. First of all, we'll talk about what the BCCI said in its IPL media advisory. They do not want to compromise on the safety of the players and the support staff and other participants. And this decision was taken keeping in mind the safety, health and well-being of all the stakeholders. And the BCCI in the end said that they will do everything in their power to arrange for secure and safe passage of all the participants in IPL 2021. Well, the question of the Australian cricketers, Michael Slater went to Maldives, so maybe they can secure a bit of a holiday for 2 weeks for you know, for a few days at least for the Australian cricketers, and then try and arrange a charter flight from the Maldives all the way to Australia, because you can't come from India to Australia. You can surely come from Maldives to Australia, can't you? So maybe that's a loophole that they can exploit for a few days. For the English cricketers, I think they will be happier to fly to the UK easily, charter a plane, get them all there, quarantine. Almost all the other countries can do similarly, charter planes, private planes, and the Indian cricketers also get to go home. I mean, they've been in bubble since September last year. So what, we have 6 weeks of no cricket for them, a bit of a rest at a troubled time. They can go home. I mean, MS Dhoni's parents were infected with the virus. He'll be happy to go home to his parents, take care of them. So it'll be a good time for the cricketers to have some downtime, as well as spend some time with their family and close ones and stay safe. I mean, we said in the last episode how the IPL bio bubble was a safe and secure one, but it's no longer the case. It's been breached. So all the cricketers were at risk. Also, now that they have a 6 week gap, there's a chance for the Indian cricketers to get vaccinated, because the 18 to 44 population is getting vaccinated. And the BCCI said that they did not want to jump the queue. Maybe now they can organize vaccination for these cricketers on a massive scale. And just before I finish, I just want to say that this is absolutely the right call at this stage, Daniel. On Monday night, when the news first broke of suspension of the game, KKR versus RCB, and, you know, reports of the people testing positive, there were still plans afoot to get all the teams to Mumbai, have a 7 day break. And around the 8th or 10th of May, they start playing again with a few more doubleheaders than anticipated, but get all of them to Mumbai and keep playing and playing and playing. But apparently, some of the franchisees were not interested. A lot of the overseas players, and, you know, rightly so, were very concerned about going home. I think you can judge that from a few tweets or a few messages. If you want to say so. You mentioned Michael Slater's tweet. There was a bit of anxiety about it, about returning to Australia, and it's right. In a raging pandemic, it's right to think about themselves, about their families and everything. It's not about earning or cricket or anything as such. So in that light, yes, an absolutely right decision has been taken. Now, the second part of your answer there, Daniel, you said, is it important enough? Yes, it is important enough, because there's a lot of money involved. The IPL money keeps world cricket money flowing in, keeps world cricket revolving, keeps Indian cricket revolving. So let me put it out there. Finishing the IPL this year will be of paramount importance to the BCCI. As for when it can happen, they'll have to find a gap. For now, I think the gap after the England tour, there's a month's gap before the T20 World Cup begins. Whether it's played in India, whether it's played in the UAE, we don't know yet. The T20 World Cup could shift to the UAE, so they could shift the second part of the IPL to the UAE as well. But again, let me reiterate, it's of paramount importance that the IPL's second half be played. And let me just go out on a limb and say this as well. There's no other bilateral arrangement this year, even the World Test Championship. Maybe the T20 World Cup is as important, but nothing else is more important to the BCCI now than finishing the IPL. And postponing the IPL and holding it later in the year, especially the second half of the year, is going to have intense ramifications for the international cricket calendar. What do you think, Daniel, if we play it just before the T20 World Cup? That would be a good warm-up for all the world's cricketers.
Yeah. Well, yeah, for most of the ones that are playing in the T20 World Cup, apart from, of course, from the Pakistan players who won't have any IPL time. And, of course, you've got the PSL to fit in as well. So I suppose if the Pakistan players are going to get any T20 practice, they could play the PSL in September, and the IPL takes place in September as well, which would be an interesting conflict, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't that be fun? Andre Russell playing in Dubai for Kolkata Knight Riders, the next day going to Abu Dhabi and playing for the Multan Sultans. You know, it is going to be, what, an equilibrium of Pakistan cricket and Indian cricket, IPL and PSL in parallel. We can dream. We can dream, Daniel.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that it won't happen. But look, I think you've got a point here that there is a window, and yeah, they will be able to play double headers. I mean, we said earlier there are 31 matches. They can't play them in 15 days, but they can play them in 3 weeks probably, because it'd have to be a little bit of a gap at some point, especially when we get to the knockouts, because sides don't know where they're going to be playing. But yeah, if you say you do that in 3 weeks and it starts from, say, the 15th, 16th, 17th of September, then straight into the T20 World Cup, it's feasible. There'd be some very tired pitches at Sharjah Abu Dhabi and Dubai, because there'll be 31 IPL games and then there'll be however many T20 World Cup games there are. From an English point of view, the moment the T20 World Cup ends, England are due to go to Australia for the Ashes as well. So there's that'll be a very, very crowded schedule of cricket with some very tired cricketers. But I think your point is also very valid. The IPL has got to finish for money purposes. Then you'll have to ask yourself, when can it finish and where? And maybe they could attempt to get into the UAE earlier, but I find it hard to see. I think September is going to have to be it, because we've got a crowded schedule in June. Yes, of course, the IPL may take precedence, which could push the World Test Championship back. But I think with India in the turmoil it's in at the moment, the best solution is for everyone to take a deep breath, 6 weeks off, as you say, an opportunity to vaccinate the players. In England, the same thing will happen, because by the time we get to June, July, the English cricketers will be in the age groups where they become eligible for vaccine as well. And so that will mean that by September, you're in a place where, of course, it's still possible for people who are vaccinated to contract the virus, but it reduces the likelihood massively. It makes those bubbles more likely to be secure. So I think it's going to have to be that. I can't see it happening any earlier. My question to you is, does the World Test Championship happen at the same time as it's scheduled to do? Or does that get pushed back a little bit? And if it does, you know, let me tell you, in England, we have restrictions on crowd sizes. And by the 21st of June, those restrictions go. So you push the World Test Championship back a couple of weeks. It means India can play that game, having done their 10-day quarantine, because it's mandatory for anybody coming from India to do a 10-day hotel quarantine in England at the moment. And then they could move on straight from finishing the World Test Championship, a couple of inter-squad warm-up games into the Test Series against England. That would make sense. It will be disruptive. It'll be interesting to see if there's space in England's schedule. England, for Indian listeners, is a lot less flexible in the way it can handle its fixture list, because it's got 18 competing stakeholders in the counties, and they sell their tickets well in advance. So it causes an administrative nightmare, and the English are not very good at that, where Indians are a lot more agile and are able to come up with solutions at the last minute. In England, we tend to try to plan things 9 months, a year in advance, and then get very upset if anything changes. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out.
Interesting thought there, Daniel. I think in June, it might just be a bit tough to get the IPL back on track, because first of all, the window is very less, and the IPL, you need the overseas cricketers back. So would they be very happy to come back already in June? I'm not so sure. And now the secondary question from that perspective will be, how is the pandemic second wave doing in India? Have we some sort of control over the pandemic in June itself? We are already on May. Doesn't seem to be happening at the moment. So June is a bit quicker in my opinion. And the fact is, I don't see the second half of the IPL being played in India, because they cannot stop the second half again. So they need to go to the UAE. We have seen earlier in 2014, the IPL went to UAE for the first half and then came back to India for the second half. It can be done. Maybe this time, first half in India, second half in the UAE. Thing is, in the UAE, you cannot play in June. I don't know about the Indian cricketers, but the Australian and English cricketers will be burned to a crisp in June in UAE. So June is not going to be feasible. As for the World Test Championship, interesting point. The original plan was for India to play the World Test Championship from 18 June onwards and then have a month in the UK practicing and spending time loitering about. That does not make sense. It makes more sense to push the World Test Championship to the second week of July and then lead India straight away into the India-England series. So that'll be interesting to see if that has an impact on how the international calendar will shape up. I personally think it will have a major, major impact. But as we come towards the second half of this episode, we need to look back at some cricket lasting memories. I mean, this weekend was an intense one, wasn't it? David Warner drop, Josh Butler scoring 100, and that game between Chennai Super Kings and Mumbai Indians, the El Clasico.
Well, it was scintillating way for the IPL to end, which makes it feel very poignant. I say end, go into postponement or suspension. I'll start with Josh Butler. He now has as many T20 hundreds as Alistair Cook. and it took him 360 matches to get there. It was a scintillating innings. He hit his last 90 runs off about 27 balls. It was a delight and a wonder to watch. At the same time, for the Sunrisers, David Warner not being captain may make sense, but David Warner not in the team, he scored more runs than any overseas player in the history of the IPL. He strikes at 140. I mean, he's got incredible numbers. And yes, he's not had a great first six games. It's David Warner, you know. Maybe it was a captaincy that he needed relieving of, not the playing. And Sunrisers just looked to me to be, well, no better off for Kane Williamson, a man who I estimate very highly, but no better off because they still haven't worked out what their method is. That was the fascination in that game. And then, well, look, El Clasico. I asked somebody, I was commentating that game for the BBC, Chetan, and I asked for, like, you know, an Urdu translation of El Clasico, because we call it El Clasico, but it needs to be called something, you know, more Indian. What is the right term for El Clasico in Urdu or any of the many languages you have in India, Punjabi, whatever?
In Hindi, you have to go with Hindi. Dhamal Mukabla, you know, that means what a great contest, what a smashing contest. Say it with me. Come on, Daniel.
Teach it to me.
Dhamal Mukabla. Exactly.
Dhamal Mukabla.
Dhamal Mukabla.
I'm calling it Dhamal Mukabla. That's it. That's what it was.
Mukabla.
It was
the Yes.
And what a Dhamal Mukabla it was, because that was an unbelievable game of cricket. I mean, genuinely, yeah. We spent the first 25 minutes talking doom and gloom.
Yeah.
But whatever happens in this tournament, that game was one of the most sensational games of cricket you could wish to see.
It reminded me of 2009 when Kieran Pollard first emerged on our T20 Horizons, the collective T20 Horizons. I was working with Mobile ESPN and there was this big screen and I was just sitting on the office lounge chair and just watching this guy go about slowly building his innings and then smash, 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 and got all those sixes and he was exulting in the end, you know. His waistline's grown a bit. Maybe the muscles have contracted just a bit. I shouldn't be saying that. I'm like 1/4 the size of Kieran Pollard. However, it reminded me of that knock, because so much power. He was toying with the Chennai Super Kings attack. He was just toying with them. And Ambati Raidu is probably the unluckiest cricketer to ever play, because he had a magnificent knock, 70 off what, 70 out of 30 odd deliveries. And Pollard comes in and smashes 10 more extra runs with using, you know, 5 less deliveries. So it's amazing. 219, second highest score ever chased. That game deserved an audience. And when I say that, not just a television audience, but audiences in the ground, the fans. Come on, Daniel. You also know. I also know. Everybody knows. We are missing the action to be, you know, we're missing live action.
Oh, it was and agony. And look.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I'll give our listeners a little, I mean, it'll seem like a small insight, but it's profound, I think, in a way, which is that you and I have both had to commentate matches off the telly.
Yeah.
And we both of us are never quite sure sometimes if the ball has gone for six or not. And you can hear it in the commentator's voice.
Yeah.
When Kieran Pollard hits a ball, you have confidence. That has gone. Not every time. Look, you don't get to see hitting like that anywhere else. It was extraordinary. The stillness, the wallop, the distance, the 103 meters. Kevin Peterson would have given it 12, as we found out on Twitter the other day.
Well, who knows? It might just be awarded 12 runs in the near future. That brings us to the end of this episode. We don't know when our next episode is going to be, Daniel, because we don't know what is the fate of the IPL. To our listeners, well, hope you're staying safe, and we will be back soon as we know when the next set of matches are being played. Until next time, stay safe. Do tune in once again. This is Chetan Arula and Daniel Nokra signing off. Goodbye.
Really do stay safe. Goodbye.